Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass and the automotive and social media world. I'm your host from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. My name is Sam, and this week I am joined once again by Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
Welcome back, Tony.
Thank you.
I feel like we should start this podcast with an apology. Well, maybe from my side, not us, because it feels like about 6 months since I last uploaded a podcast.
It's close to that.
Yeah.
It was a while.
I think the travelling got a hold of... I lost track, basically. if you've missed it over on the main channel, I've been down to Monaco. I've been across to LA. I've also just been sitting in my bed, not doing very much in between that. But I lost track. And we haven't recorded an episode for a while. And I'm sorry to those who have been following the Behind the Glass series. If you're new, welcome. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, make sure you hit subscribe. Future episodes to come. Give this video a thumbs up. It will help other people find it. If you're listening to us, exciting news I haven't filled you in on yet. We've got a new podcast distributor.
Home.
Some company. But it should mean that hopefully now, or at least soon, these podcasts will be available on Spotify and Google Play.
So we're famous.
Well, I would say so, Tony.
Yeah.
We're huge.
Huge.
Now, don't take my word for it, because we've said this all before and it hasn't quite worked out, but I'm paying some company a lot of money to get onto those platforms. Yeah, a lot of money. a lot of money. Even though this channel's still not monetized. Well, thanks, YouTube. Anyway, so we are back. We are back. We are determined to improve these podcasts more and more, especially for those of you watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in. As you can see, this week, we've enhanced our setting with the addition of a lovely plant
that we got from the next room.
We are here. You join us at Tony's unit showroom, Gravelwood Car Sales showroom.
Office, mate.
You're in your office right now. We do want to improve the sort of settings for these podcasts, and we are hoping to move next door into your kind of, what do you call that space above the car?
It's a mezzanine.
Oh, a mezzanine. We are hoping to move to the mezzanine, but I bought the wrong microphone stand with me today. So.
And we've got a leak.
Oh yeah, we've got a leak. It's like a wind leak, though. It's not a water leak. It's a sound leak. So midway through our podcast, it would have been like... and that was wind. So anyway, we're doing it in here with this lovely addition of a potted plant behind us, which is fake.
Yeah.
Just getting that, any plant.
When they're real, you've got to keep watering them.
Yeah, what a ball, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Anyway, here we are. We are back. Let's fill you in on what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. Tony's going to be filling us in on the Tartan Florio, the supercar driver tour that he recently got back from that I did last year, but obviously didn't do this year. So lots to come on that. I want to hear all the stories. We're going to be discussing my trip to LA, some thoughts that I had out there, some cars that I saw, some things that I did. We're also going to be talking about the NSX, the new Honda, or Acura, if you're American.
Acura.
NSX. I've had some thoughts on that. We saw one recently when Tony collected his AMG GTR from Redline Specialist.
Are we going to talk about that?
We will, for sure. Why not? Yeah. We're obviously going to be talking about Formula One. Again, those of you that are joining us for the first time, we are big Formula One fans. We are watching the season. We are following, and there's a lot to discuss following Baku. I don't know what the official pronunciation of Baku is. Like, I feel like Baku doesn't... It's got to be like a flair, right?
Yeah.
Baku.
Yeah.
Is that a bit racist? Maybe. And then finally, we're going to be teasing some very exciting things coming up for Behind the Glass. So, 5 minutes of admin and housekeeping, which I felt was necessary considering how absent we've been over the past few weeks. But now we can finally get into things. So, Tony, please tell us, how was Tartan Florio?
You done that in one take, mate.
Thank you.
As well. You've done really well.
I've had four coffees today.
Because the last time, you can royally ballsed it up.
I was so ill. Do you remember? I was really ill, and I should not have recorded a podcast. And I think the audience picked up on that because it's one of our worst performing podcasts today. But now I'm back. So yeah, sorry. Let's do it. Okay, come on. Sorry. Tartan Flow. Talk to me.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know, annually, Supercar Driver arrange a road trip to Scotland. This year it was 6 days. It's called Tartan Florio. Obviously, it's about 16 or 17 cars. It's a tour of the
you're struggling now. You haven't had to do a bit of a monologue for a while, have you?
North Coast 500.
Yeah. Which is an epic 500-mile route around the north coast of Scotland.
Yep. It's not all of it, but it's a part of it. And then we've done some Top Gear roads as well, which was just insane. So when you come last year, we done a different route this year.
Okay.
And it was only 5 days. 5 years. Five?
5 days. Wow, he's struggling. Damn. He's out of practice. I thought I was usually the one that laid this podcast down.
5 days.
Last year was 5 days. Yeah. I was there in my McLaren 540C. You were there in your McLaren 570S. This year, as you're saying, it was 6 days in a slightly different route. And you took the...
GT3.
Porsche GT3.
Yeah.
Good choice. Good.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because we talked about it a lot after last year's Tartan Florio. What did we think was the best car for that kind of trip? Because the roads are super tight and narrow,
yep,
very bumpy, and quite brutal. Lots of potholes, lots of bumps, lots of stone chips. And we kind of said at the time, maybe like a little...
A Cayman? Or GT4, Cayman
an
GT4.
M2 or something like that could be good. But you took the GT3, and did you feel that was a good choice?
So last year, our cars won Car of the Tour.
For sure, because they were the best.
They were, yeah.
At the time.
At the time. But they did ground out a bit, didn't they?
A lot. We had a lot of, especially just the actual floor, not necessarily the front
bumper,
but the actual floor was grounding out.
The GT3 didn't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember grounding out once.
But that's so interesting, because I would see the GT3 as riding quite low. It's always, you know, in terms of tyre to body gap, there's not much.
But do you know what I think it is? I think it's the front of the bumper is so close to the wheel. I don't think there's a lot of
travel.
Overhang. Yeah, that's what you'd say, overhang. Whereas the McLaren's got bigger overhang, which is why it probably grounded out
maybe
more.
And did you feel, were you struggling to keep up with anything? Were you the leader of the pack once again? If you don't know, Tony drives like an absolute nutter. So usually...
I'm a good driver.
You're very... I didn't say you weren't.
Oh.
Just said you drive like a nutter. So were you leading the pack in the GT3?
Mostly, yeah.
Anything struggled to keep up with you?
Okay, so the cars that were there...
Oh, yes.
That would be helpful. So there was Aventador S.
Yeah.
Different group of people this time as well.
Okay.
So there was five or six of us that... what we would say pedaled, essentially.
Pedaled,
so
got it.
Were faster.
Sure.
There was a GT2 RS there.
Tony, don't just skip past that.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
There was two Performantes, which were very fast, especially in the wet.
And considering that you own a Performante, did you regret not taking yours?
In the wet.
Really? They were that much quicker in the wet?
They were so good in the wet. Aventador S.
Hashtag Quattro. And the Aventador S.
The Aventador S was very quick in the wet. Wasn't in the dry, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Felt a bit of a
it's
big,
a beast,
heavy beast.
Isn't it? It's a big car. I mean, the guy that was driving it drove like an absolute hero. He could drive. But yeah, I think in the big, you know, in the little twisties and that, I think he struggled.
I'm just going to interject. Let's try and not forget where we just got to. But one thing we hadn't talked about is I drove my first ever Aventador in Monaco.
Yeah.
BSV.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fairly major for us.
Yeah, like,
6 months ago, non-Lamborghini fans, we appreciated them, but not fans.
Yeah.
Now you own a Performante, and I've driven my first ever Aventador. And my God, Tony, I know we've spoken about it off camera, but that thing blew me away.
I know you said.
As a roller coaster ride. But one thing I would not want is A, to own one, and B, to take one on the North Coast 500.
Because no way.
Exactly as you say, no matter, I mean, I know the S is a sort of supposedly a step forward from the SV, but the SV still feels cumbersome. It still feels super wide, not particularly agile. It's just like a sledgehammer, and it's a point and squirt, and it makes amazing noise, and it's exhilarating, but that's all you want. It's like when you go to Thorpe Park.
Yeah.
You get on the ride and think it's the best thing ever. You might do it again. Maybe you'll do it a third time, but...
After then?
Mm,
yeah.
You want something else, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I felt. So seeing the Aventador S, did you, because that could be a step up from you from the Performante.
So because I do need to think about this. It looked the best car on the tour to actually look and be behind.
What Ferraris were on the tour, Tony?
It was a Roadster as well.
What Ferraris were on the tour?
It was a 488.
Ooh, still punchy from you.
And a CS.
Oh my. Get out. You just put an Aventador above a Stradale.
To look at.
Yes. To look at.
Yeah.
Because the Stradale's not that good to drive. No.
You're only good at looking. Nor is the Aventador S.
Wow.
No, honestly.
It caught your eye.
Really caught my eye. It was a nice spec as well. It was black with gold wheels.
Nice.
Gold stitching inside. It was a really, really... It's brand
new.
Didn't
see that coming from you, but...
No. But wow. I don't think I'd rush out... I certainly wouldn't replace the Performante for it now anyway, okay. For sure.
Okay.
Because as a driving machine, it doesn't get anywhere close to the Performante.
Different animals.
Yeah. But to look at it, it was definitely the best. Wow. As an actual poster... Picture.
I feel like we need to go and borrow one, don't we? Like you and I need to get hold of an SV or an S or an SVJ when they come out and I'd take it somewhere. Which shut up.
Yeah.
No, you would not.
No, only because like the values of them as well. And mate, one day I've got to tick the box of an Aventador. Haven't I? I've got
Who
to.
Who have you become?
No.
You are spending too much time with TGE and Paul Wallace. What has happened to you, mate?
No, not... I honestly don't like them.
Right.
But I've got to tick the box and have one because...
Why?
Because how can you really slate a car off if you haven't owned it?
Well, I think you can slate it off if you spend some time with it. I don't think you have to buy it to slag it off.
But spend time...
You've experienced it.
For sure, but for spending time, you got to own it and drive it, haven't you?
It's an expensive way to judge cars.
Yeah, but it's a good way.
It's for sure. Yeah. You know, I wish we could all be like that. But
Well, you can, mate.
No, I can't. I genuinely can't. But wow, okay. Well, okay, if you buy an Aventador...
One day... I mean, I might be 50, but I'm saying
right, okay.
I need to
okay, that's
need
a bit more relaxing.
It.
So yeah, in 2 years' time, you might buy an Aventador.
Yeah. No, it's certainly not... It's like I need
it's
to have an...
It's not 48, by the way. You totally missed that.
I
went right over your head.
Right over my head.
Okay, well, big news. Let's come back to the topic that we were on. Can we remember what it was? You were running down the list of cars that were there.
Okay, so...
We did GT2 RS, which we, again, are going to have to come back to.
We're going
to
come back to that.
Aventador S, Challenge Stradale, you just mentioned, 488...
One 488.
A few Performantes.
Two Performantes. Three 720Ss.
Oh, okay. How were they out in the...
We know what they're about. I mean, they're just fast. But like every time I saw... No.
Oh, really?
Every time I looked at one, I just thought, I'm so glad I'm not in that car.
See, I've been coming around to them a bit, but that's visually. And I had a very short 40-minute blast in one off camera 4 or 5 months ago, and it was a fully race spec one. And I'm getting one in a month or so for a road, not getting one, getting one, getting a loaner to spend a week with it. So, and I'm quite excited by that, but that makes me a little bit sad that you're saying that they weren't all that on the North Coast 500.
You know, like, when I went to the launch of the 720, I was so excited by it.
Mm.
And now I'm like so under. Like they really.
But they didn't look super impressive out there. Like I would have thought they would have blown everything away.
Well, in a straight line they do, but we all know that. Like they don't make any noise. There's no involvement. I just wasn't. One of them broke down.
Okay, well, look, fair enough. Each to their own. They didn't bowl you over. Let's wait and see. So I'm intrigued to get my hands back on one properly because I haven't, I mean, apart from the short drive down in southwest England, I haven't really driven one properly since the launch. And we all know how that went if you watched the main channel.
Yeah, you was the only one that was really honest.
It wasn't too nice about it at the time, but let's see. It could have won me over. Okay, so 720. Is anything else that we've missed?
There was we said the Ferrari, didn't we? There was a 650 horsepower XKR.
Oh, XKR?
Jag.
No.
Yep.
Amazing. I would have loved that.
Yeah, he was at the back, mate.
Still, I would have liked to look at it.
He didn't get no stone chips.
He was at the back. Stone chips. That's one thing I do remember from the Tarleton Flora. Your cars get battered, don't they?
Wrecked.
Mm. So how's the GT3 looking? you don't care, do you? Just get the RS in a week.
No. It's just got a couple of stone chips and it's a screen.
Yeah, it's aesthetics, right?
Yeah.
There we go. So nothing too bad. Okay, so of that group, I'm not sure, you may have missed some, so apologies for anyone that was... Oh, there we go. Vantage?
V12 manual.
Nice! V12S or V12? You don't know, do you?
I don't care.
Oh my God, you're a douche. That's stunning. If it's the dog leg, then that guy's winning at life. And I don't care what you say, those are going to go up in value. So just bite your tongue on that point.
I'm not interested.
So last year, when we were in the 540 and the 570, we both fell in love with the 488s on that tour, and we thought they were the closest things to us on road pace, given the drivers that were on the tour.
Yeah.
And we both just lusted after one, and 3 months later, you went and bought a 488 Spider.
That was the most expensive tour that I had that
year. The difference between Tony and myself. I borrowed one for a week from Ferrari. You bought one.
Mate, I'm older than you.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Were there any cars? We sort of touched on the events a little bit, but was there anything apart from, I'm going to exclude the 2RS because I know your answer, but was there anything that tickled your fancy that you thought, I'll have one of those?
Well, the Performante, but I own one.
You are fast becoming a joke, Tony.
At one point, I was chasing one and I thought, God, that's fast. I really would like one of them. And I thought, well, actually...
I've got one.
It was a really small thought process.
That's hilarious.
I've got one.
Okay, so then let's come on to the 2RS, because I was hoping... I mean, that was a short answer.
That's the car.
That's the car, right?
Yeah.
Was it everything you hoped it would be? I mean, because is that the first... You went to collect one, I remember, from Porsche Guildford.
Yep.
But this was the first one, I guess, you've seen dynamically, like...
And driving.
And how was it? What a car. Yeah?
What a car.
I still haven't seen one moving.
Really?
Well,
I mean, I barely saw it move because it was so fast. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And the McLaren boys were saying, we'll do you in a straight line. But I don't think they will. I think it's very...
A straight drag?
Yeah.
Really?
The 720 wouldn't get near it around a track. 100%, it's not going to get
near
it.
Well, look at the awful Nürburgring lap times, and it's like 30 seconds. What was the 2RS? 650 something?
650.
Or 640?
No, 646.
646, and the 720S, I think, is over 7.
Yeah, like, 7. It's slower than the Performante.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
706 or that, something.
We can't all judge the Nürburgring, but it's a lot of people use it for comparisons, and there we go. So... Okay, so the lust is still real. It didn't tarnish your desire for that car at all.
My only gripe with that car doesn't sound as good as a GT3.
Oh, really? Mm.
And everyone said it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, when the GT3 was coming past people on full chat at 9,000 revs.
It sounds nuts inside and outside. Yeah. That kind of sounds incredible. Yeah, I cannot wait to hear the RS.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a step up, right?
Oh, hello.
Hello!
But the two didn't, because difference in engine...
That's turbocharged.
Is it still a 4-litre though, or is it?
I believe so. I think it's twin turboed. It's only revs to 7,000 revs.
Ah, so 2,000 less.
But so fast. Mm. Like, blessing the guy that owned it, he self admitted that, I mean, he just picked it up, the guy.
Wow.
Hero. He picked it up on the Thursday night and drove up on the Friday morning. So how could he have possibly driven it like a lunatic?
Also, he clearly didn't know that route because he had no idea what stone chips were waiting for
him. He's wrecked the car. Wrecked.
Hit my microphone there. A car will be wrecked.
Wrecked. Completely wrecked.
He doesn't care, does he? Because it's worth double what he paid.
No, he's just got to get repainted.
Outrageous.
But... As the tour went on, obviously he got faster and faster, learnt the car.
Yeah, learned the car, built confidence, and it started to become super impressive.
So fast.
Well, that is one car that I'm desperate to still experience, to get near, to get my hands on, to just see on the road. But I'm super intrigued that you said it doesn't sound that good. I kind of guess, I think I maybe suspected that, it being turbocharged. I kind of knew it would be a bit of a flatter, more dull tone. No, but it's not got that screaming noise that the GT3 and the RS had. Okay, well, look, sounds like an amazing trip. I'm super jealous. I've probably put a whole load of photos and maybe even some video content overlaying this podcast for those of you watching us on YouTube. But if not, you can head over to Tony's Instagram. That's Gravelwood Car Sales. Or you can head over to Supercar Driver. Again, just search Supercar Driver on Instagram or even on Google to go to their website, and you can see lots of imagery there too.
Yeah.
So to move back to me, this is my podcast. I want to fill you on a few things from LA, Los Angeles, because Monaco was great, but we've spoken since Monaco, and not a lot happened there apart from my SV drive that I wanted to report on. There was, you know, apart from that, it was cool. But LA, some big things happened. So to kick things off, modified or resto mod cars. I'm still blown away by how many cars out there, modern supercars or classics, are just like ripped apart and rebuilt.
It's their culture out there, though.
And right? I know Paul Wallace has been trolling about supercharging and all this awful, God, disastrous stuff. Honestly. Which I think it's just death of all automobiles.
Honestly.
But he's become obsessed by. But, you know, whether it is supercharging Lamborghinis to just simply putting crazy wheels on 812s or 488s, or they just love it. And why do you think we don't do that in the UK? Apart from we're classy. No,
yeah, because we're not pikies.
I'm not sure you can say that, but there is definitely a cultural difference, isn't there? I don't know whether it is a sort of aesthetics thing, whether we don't want to do it or whether we're scared of doing it.
Yeah, I just think it devalues the car. You know, all these manufacturers, they spend all this time and effort in making a production supercar to suit everyone's needs for some bloke in a shed to ruin it.
I would agree totally when you're talking about performance modifications. I think an ECU tune for 15 or 20 horsepower, fine. This is basically a computer chip. Anything when you're getting 100, 200 horsepower more through whatever modifications on a supercar, I just think it's silly because, you know, these are supercars. Totally fair if you want to go and get a Focus RS and tune the crap out of it, because I'm sure you can extract a lot of performance. And actually, I don't know why I'm saying that. Oh, I keep hitting this microphone. Sorry, I've got a new stand. I'm not very used to it. I'm not sure why I think it's more acceptable to be able to tune.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Doing a £30,000 sports car than a supercar, but I just do for some reason. But for me, aesthetic changes, body kits, wheels, exhausts, I think we still don't do that much of it in the UK.
It is quite a big market, but yeah, it's not anywhere near as big as the American market.
American or the UAE market, the Middle East market, yeah, and then also the Asian market, I think. All those three are big on modifications.
Yeah.
And it feels like in the UK, we're just a little bit, I don't know, we don't embrace it so much. So that I was blown away by. I saw some really nice cars there. But the other thing that I noticed, which I kind of was weirded out by, was how advanced American muscle cars have become.
Really?
So, like everyone in Europe, I think, well, in the UK, I've always written off American muscle cars being like, you know, they're a bit cool, a bit shouty, and I like the idea of them, but I'd never want one in the UK, or I would never want to own one. But this year, Camaro ZL1, Challenger Hellcat,
What's a Challenger Hellcat?
Mate, Dodge Challenger Hellcat.
Okay, is that the fast Dodge Challenger then? Okay,
mate, fine. It's the 800 horsepower Dodge Challenger.
Yeah, but it doesn't interest me.
Oh, mate, Really? That thing. I mean, your spin wheel's at 5 miles an hour.
Really?
And okay, so I agree. The Challenger is a bit of a gimmick because
my AMG does that though, mate. I told you we'd talk about it.
Yeah. No, but not like this. This is a different. So the Challenger, I think, is an iconic American muscle car okay. in the fact that it goes fast in a straight line and not much else. But I kind of like that. You sit in armchairs. It's big. It's huge. And it's just a cool thing. And I went to Salamandrin, Alejandro's house. He just picked up his wide body Hellcat. It was cool. It was very American, but very cool.
He's got an AMG GTR.
He does. Stop trying to bring it up. We'll get on to it in a second, Tony. But the one that blew me away was this Camaro, because if you look at the Shelby Mustangs, the one to wait for is this GT500, which is still coming. But the Camaro, right, Z01, not the 1LE that Roy Reed drove on Top Gear, which was the hardcore manual one. This is the everyday road going one. 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. And it's got proper suspension. It's got proper handling. Like, this is a legitimate, proper sports car, which you could buy in the UK, imported from America, for £75,000.
But why are you excited by that? Because European cars have been doing that for 5 years, mate.
Because now we've got options. At £75,000, tell me another car that has a big shouty V8 that looks, I think, really cool, that puts out 0-60 in 3.5 seconds, that does 2 mpg, that has an iconic name, like,
I can think of a car right now.
Go on.
RS6.
No, mate, that's a freaking Avant. It's a bloody estate car.
So it still does all them things, though.
No, but you don't. No. A two-door coupe.
Oh, two-door coupe. RS5. So you just thrown that in.
Mate, I'm not throwing that in. That's like me saying, name a rival to the 488. Bentayga. That's not an argument. Okay, RS5.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. F-Type. V6, you couldn't get a V8 F-Type for $75,000.
You could now. Used one.
Used. I'm talking about new. Okay, I'm talking about new. What else is in there? Couldn't get a 911.
C63.
Okay, C60. Okay, so I think maybe that's the most direct rival, C63 versus Camaro. And I just think Camaro's just cool. Like, I think it's cool. It's a different option. It's shake it up. And my frustration is they don't sell the spicy ones in the UK. That's the whole point of this topic, is why still don't the Americans sell the spicy Mustangs, the spicy Camaros, the spicy Challengers in the UK?
Because no one will buy them.
Why not?
Because everyone buys the German stuff.
But because they don't have a choice.
But there's been other manufacturers that have come in before and tried to tamper the market, and they failed.
So look at the last generation of the Ford Mustang, the first one to come back to the UK since the 60s. How many of them do you see on the road?
None.
Shut up, mate. They're
what,
everywhere.
In the UK?
Yes, they are everywhere.
Oh, I can't remember the last time I saw one.
Are you joking? Where do you go that's beyond this 5 mile radius for your unit? Dude, are you serious?
Mate, you're the only one that needs a sat nav to drive home from here.
I do, actually.
Exactly.
I will tell you right now, I see a ton of those Mustangs. I don't know if they're the EcoBoost, I don't know if they're the VA. I swear I see them all over the shop.
Well, maybe it's just because they're just boring, they just blend in. I honestly don't see it. I'll tell you where I do see them, on Ford forecourts, where they're not selling them.
We are totally going to disagree here.
They're good
value. Well, yeah, but they're good value, but they're still not the spicy ones. You can't get the Shelby here. I think if they bought the Shelby here, they would sell more.
I wouldn't buy one.
Well, no, but you have weird taste in cars, too.
So do you.
And 6 months ago, you never wanted to buy a Lamborghini, and now you love the Huracan Performante.
Yeah, but it's really like Ferrari.
6 months' time, you're going to be in a DB11, I tell you right now. You'll be in that DBS Superleggera. I see it. I'm predicting it right now. 6 months' time, Tony's going to be in the DBS Superleggera.
I might like it, though, mightn't I?
And that's going to be sick, that car. That's going to be sick.
Mate, an awful lot of money, though.
I know, but they all are. They come down a bit, don't they? Eventually. / 2 months later.
Yeah, not eventually. Straight away.
Straight away. So, yeah. So my big complaint here is that the Americans are still not selling the spicy cars here in the UK. And I'd love to know what you guys think. If Camaro ZL1s, if Shelby Mustangs, if Hellcat Challengers were available in the UK, would you buy them? Let us know. Comment below. Tweet us.
Or would you rather put your money into a German car where you know everything is safe and it won't
break?
Why
is an American car not safe?
For residuals.
Okay, fair. But look at the price drop on a C63 or an RS5 that were $90,000 and now they're 50.
But they were too expensive in the first place.
American cars aren't. That's the whole thing. I fully spec a Challenger Hellcat. It was like $73,000.
But you wouldn't pay 90 grand unless you had needed your head testing. You wouldn't pay 90 grand people for do. An RS5.
People do.
Yeah, but they give you money off.
Yeah, but people still do. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we're going to agree to disagree and move on because we're getting a bit awkward in here now. I want to get hold. By the way, there are a few companies that specialize in importing US cars into the UK. 51 State Autos, I think, are one of the best. And Clive.
Soon to go bust.
Clive Sutton.
I've heard of Clive
yeah,
Sutton.
So yeah, if either of you guys watch and want us to do a video on an American car, please do it because I think Tony
convince
and I have
me,
some
please.
Fun.
Please.
Now, another car I saw in America, which we're going to bring back here. We're going to bring back to this conversation, the NSX. Now, I drove the NSX, 6 months or so ago? I brought it to you.
Your branch comes to show me.
I bought it here to show you. Sorry, I stumbled my words a bit there. My coffee's wearing off. I spent a weekend with it. And since then, it's kind of been playing somewhere in the back of my head because I had it for 4 days. The first 2 days, I hated it. I was like, what is this piece of junk? Because you sit in it and it's literally not even a Civic. It's not even that good. It's just feels like a really tacky Honda inside. And it was in electric mode and I didn't really push it. And I was like, what is this? And then the third day, I started to appreciate it a bit more because I, like lots of people look at that car. It's a proper supercar. And I was using it day in, day out, like running to the food shop, loading up with things. And it was just so usable. And then the fourth day, I took it to a country road, put it in sport plus mode, and I was blown away. So I ended up loving it. But I haven't really been around one since. Then I got to America, and I see a few of them. And I'm like, ooh.
Of course you did, the hybrid.
Ooh. Yeah, and they're Acuras. And they looked cool. They looked really cool. So I came back to the UK, jumped on the Auto Trader thinking they've probably depreciated a bit now because the one that I test drove was 180K. I was like, maybe they're down at 120. And the market makes no sense for them. They range from 130K to 175 with some with delivery mileages at 130, some with 5,000 miles at 170, different specs. And they're all cars that were there when I borrowed that last one 6 months or 9 months ago. No one is buying these cars, Tony. Why?
I don't want to be derogatory towards it. I just
Please
don't
do.
Think it's any good.
But why don't you think it's any good? Because I would have said the same thing until I drove it.
But it's a Honda.
Okay, agreed. The badge goes against it. I totally agree with you there. However, do you not think the heritage of the previous generation NSX replaces that?
If it was never 170 grand though, mate.
No, but the NSX badge is a little bit more prestigious than the Honda badge. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess, but, well, obviously not because no one's buying them.
No one's buying them. And I watched a Chris Harris video the other day where he said it's basically it's 918 type performance at under 200 grand. So what is that? A quarter of the price less. What is it?
But it's not a Porsche.
Tenth of the price. No, it's not a Porsche.
Exactly.
And I agree. And I think the minute you're sat inside it, it does feel so tacky. It takes away a lot of that flair. But I cannot explain to you how quick that thing is. I genuinely think it's quicker than a 570S. When I borrowed it, I either still had the 540 or just sold it. And it was 100% quicker than the 540.
Really?
What, mate, 100%. And then on top of that, you could cruise around town in electric mode, silent. How wicked is that? But I think your reaction is the same reaction that tons of people are having, which is why they are simply not selling, which just seems like such a waste. And at some point, that market will fall out of its arse and those cars will be 75 grand and they will be the biggest steal in the world.
Yeah, to which point they'll be all right.
And then they'll go to 250 because no one bought them and they'll be super rare.
Yeah, probably. A bit like the Carrera GT.
So when they hit 75, can we buy one together? Come on. Well, who do you care? You'll make money.
Yeah, at 75 grand, there's no way. Because I remember when I was talking about 488 replacements and stuff, and you went, mate, get an NSX.
Get an NSX, be sick. Come on.
Get an NSX. Not a chance. No way.
And I agree. Even at 130, they're too much.
Yeah, they're too much.
I mean, like, at 90, biggest steal in the world. So, okay, we're I'm going to shake your hand. At 75 grand, the first 2016 Honda NSX to hit 75 grand, Tony and I will buy.
Mainly with Tony's money. I don't have any.
Tony will buy and Sam will drive.
Tony will buy and I will film. Okay, so let's move on. We've covered off the first three topics, which are very car focused. Let's come on to Formula One. Non-Formula One fans, feel free to skip ahead by 5 or 10 minutes or so. We have quite a bit to talk about, but we're going to try and keep it short-ish. So Baku, potentially the most exciting race of, for sure, this year. But
yeah, yeah.
Maybe even last year.
What are Red Bull doing?
In a good way or a bad way?
Like, is there no control?
No, okay, so hold on a sec. We are talking about the fact that Ricciardo and Verstappen had a big old crash 10 laps to go. So they were, what, I can't remember if they were fourth and fifth or fifth and sixth at the time. And they'd been sparring all race, going
at it. They were fast
it.
As well.
Very, very quick. Ricciardo looked like the faster car, but couldn't get past Verstappen, so fair enough. And then bolted on some tyres, put his battery charge up, went for the overtake, and... Okay, let me ask you, who do you blame for that accident?
I really like Ricciardo. Do you know what? If I'm a big fan of Vettel, but I would like to see Ricciardo win the championship.
Agreed. So who do you blame for the accident?
Ricciardo.
Oh, why?
Because he can see, mate. He drove straight to the back of the car.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my thought, and then come back to me on it. So I thought Verstappen drove pretty ropey all race, and I think he's had a pretty ropey season.
I agree.
He's either gone into his head of how good he is, or he's trying a bit too hard, or whatever. He's had a ropey season, and there were quite a few moves throughout the race where he was just pushing it a bit too hard, and especially with Ricciardo, they'd already bashed wheels a bit. Now, one of the biggest complaints with Verstappen throughout his career is that he moves in the braking zone. So, for those of you, again, who don't watch a lot of F1
he's still
or
learning,
motorsport...
Mate. He's just a kid.
Yeah, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't care how young you are, it's one of the simplest rules of motorsport, one of the sort of most acknowledged sort of, you know, agreements, don't move in the braking zone. Mm-hmm. Because when you're carrying that much speed, you've got to remember Formula One cars are going from 200 odd miles an hour down to 100.
Or 60
in 50 or 100 meters. Like the braking distance are nothing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The force, the power that you have to put through that brake pedal is so intense that once you've started braking, there's nothing you can do. You are then braking.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you move in that braking zone, there's not much the other driver can do. And this was where, I guess, my accusations of Verstappen come in, that from the beginning of that straight, he started weaving because he was trying to break the toe. So he was already moving around a lot. You can see from Ricciardo's on board, he starts to sort of position up the move.
He was in his slipstream.
He was in a slipstream. You knew he was going to go for a lunge. And I think he tried around the outside a few times before. So he tries to sell a bit of a dummy that he was going to go around the outside again. And then says, no, I'm going to go to the inside. So he chooses, that's his line. I don't know if there was much of a gap there at that point anyway.
I don't think there was any.
Well, at that point, he could probably have just done it.
Just done it.
It is Ricciardo after all. But as he moves to the inside, Verstappen, once already in that sort of braking zone, goes, well, screw that, I'm going to move back to the inside. So,
and slam my brakes on.
Yes, slam my brakes on. But therefore, Ricciardo's always a later breaker. I do put it down as a racing incident, but I think Ricciardo probably went for a gap that wasn't there, and I think Verstappen moved in the braking zone.
Yeah.
So I do think both are to blame, and I do think it was so unnecessary because Ricciardo was clearly the faster car. And if Verstappen was a little bit more sensible, he probably would have gone, okay, I'll let Ricciardo go. It's not my race. I'll come back at him in the season.
Well, let's blame it on the team then, because they should be disciplined. I know they say let him race.
Yeah, let him race, mate. This is Formula One.
I know, but if he's a faster car and he's got it's all about strategy, right? That's the whole idea of Formula One.
If they hadn't have crashed, that was the only exciting thing happening in that race at that time. Yes, there were some other midfield battles going on, but realistically, Vettel and Bottas were way out front. Hamilton didn't have a hope in hell. The strategy was all playing out pretty safely. It looked like it was either going to be Vettel or Bottas.
Well, Vettel just royally ballsed himself up because he should have won that.
But only at the restart, mate.
Yeah,
I'm saying is Verstappen versus Ricciardo was the only interesting, exciting thing happening.
Mm.
So if Red Bull had called that off, it would have been a pretty dull race.
Yeah, maybe.
But then, as you say, we move past that. So you're blaming Ricciardo, I'm calling it a racing incident. We come to the restart, all excitement. can we just touch on Grosjean's accident? Like, what happened? Ericsson hit me.
Yeah, sure, mate. Cool. Ericsson hit me too.
What a dick. But Vettel ballsing up the restart. I did not see that happening. Of all the people,
I know.
Didn't see that happening. That is, I find that very uncharacteristic of Vettel.
Yeah, because that's what I think he's very disciplined in that.
Yeah,
in that
for a
sense.
Few years, not since that dodgy Red Bull year, the first year with Ricciardo. So his last year at Red Bull when he was really scrappy. His Ferrari years, he's been pretty on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And not made a lot of mistakes. He's made a lot of sort of boiling over anger moments, but not a lot of mistakes. And that was just a all out mistake.
And they've got, Ferrari got the best car this year. So far,
easily.
Right?
Yeah, easily. Yeah. At this point of the season, easily. So he royally balls that up. Yeah, and you could say he didn't need to do that at that point. He would have probably still been able to overtake Bottas or Hamilton later on that lap.
And then Bottas was unlucky, obviously.
Bottas was so unlucky. He should have won that hands down.
Absolutely.
Let's just touch on Hamilton to round up the F1 section. I am the biggest Hamilton fan. I've gone off him a little bit this season because I just think, he's just being moody and sulky, and I hate it when Hamilton goes through this. He does it every season. Something happens in his personal life. One of his boyfriends dumps him or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes through this little sulk. And we have to remember...
He's on his boat.
Yeah, he's on his boat. His music player's not working on his boat or whatever. His piano's broken. And the first race of the year, he was so on it. Quickest in all the sessions, quickest in qualifying. Should have won the race hands down. Then he lost it, and he's like, he went, oh, well, I hate F1 now.
Yeah.
I don't like it anymore. And he's just not... His body language is totally different in the car.
Yeah.
And so he should never have won that race. It should have been Bottas's. I think very, very well behaved by him to be so...
Honest
and, you know, and compassionate towards Bottas. I thought that was great and very sportsmanly.
Yeah.
But wake up, mate. Wake up. Get your head in the game. I mean, if you don't care, retire.
So that's what you're saying. If things don't go his way, he just downs tall.
Yeah, he's like car slow. I can't win, so whatever. Yeah, yeah. And that's not who he used to be. Like, look back at 2009 when he was in a McLaren that was a dog poo car. Should have only at best finished in the low end of the points, and he won two races.
Yeah.
Like, he was dogged determined. He used to slag it off, but he was dogged and he was determined.
He kept
going. Now, he just doesn't care. He just literally seems demotivated and like he doesn't care. And that, I think, is not on.
There was one difference between then and now, though. He's won everything.
That's what I mean. So, therefore... Retire, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just retire. Because, anyway, I really hope he wakes up and he brings the fight to Vettel, because I think him, Vettel and Ricciardo going for a three-way title fight would be amazing.
Yeah.
And what's something we touched on, which I just researched before, I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've had three winners from the first four races since 2013.
Blimey.
So I do think this could be a really exciting F1 season.
Fingers crossed.
So again, if you are new to F1 or you haven't watched it before, I would recommend giving it a go. Probably not the next race in Barcelona, because that does tend to be quite a boring race. But Canada, Silverstone, any of these big hitters, I would check them out.
Silverstone's good.
I love Silverstone.
Yeah, me too.
So that kind of rounds off our big topics, I guess, for our return to the podcast. I feel like we came back strong.
We smashed it.
We
mate.
Smashed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I say, I really apologize to everyone that was missing us for the few weeks that we didn't upload an episode. I promise that we're going to be working hard to try and ensure we are continuing to bash out a video or an episode every single week. Keep checking Spotify and Google Play for the various episodes. We do have a plan to try and incorporate you guys into these recordings a little bit more. We're toying with both, basically being live, whether that is digitally or physically.
I think we should do a physical live, mate.
Well, it's supposed to be a tease, but cool.
No.
Supposed to hint towards it without actually revealing our plans, Tony. But
no, I'm not saying that. We haven't revealed that, but I think that would be sick.
I think it would be sick. I that's what we're considering. I think we want to look at trying to do either a physical live or a digital live, whether it's once a month or whatever. But we do have plans. And of course, we're hoping to upgrade our setting as well. No offense, Tony, to your lovely office and your fake plant.
It's purposeful. Purposeful. It serves a purpose, my office.
It serves a purpose. There we go. He sells, buys and sells cars. Next week's guest, unfortunately, will not be Tony. I'm headed down to Windrush, which is like a specialist car storage, car care place. They've got some insane cars in stock, and the way that they run the business is fascinating, but so is their CEO, who used to work in F1 for a long time. So,
did he?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I've been down there a few times. It's a really cool place, and he's a really interesting guy. Following that, I think Tony will be back the week after. So, yeah. yes, make sure you are subscribing to the YouTube channel if you're watching us here on youtube.com/behindtheglass. And please do give this podcast a thumbs up. It will help others discover it. If you're listening to us, please follow us on whatever platform you are listening to us and spread the word. Give us a rating, give us some feedback, tweet about us, Instagram about us. We are trying to take over the world one podcast at a time. Thanks, thanks for tuning in. Tony, any final words?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.